This is James Corbett of the Corbett Report. It's the 3rd of October 2009, and today I'm joined once again by Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. As regular listeners will know by now, Bob Chapman is one of the world's leading economic, political, and social analysts, and he has been helping to expose the truth behind the governmental and financial system for decades. And his website is theinternationalforecaster.com. Mr. Chapman, thank you so much for coming back on the program today.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Well, Mr. Chapman, you keep your subscribers up to date on the twists and turns in the market with your extremely in-depth newsletter, but today I want to step back from the day-to-day manifestations of the system that we're examining here and take a look at the bigger picture. And my listeners may not be aware, but you have really been exposing the truth behind the markets for decades now and have even owned and wrote the Gary Allen Report, which is now the International Forecaster. So I'd like to draw upon that experience today to find out about the system of control we're unfortunately living through right now. Before we get to that, though, maybe you should tell us about what it was like to expose the machinations of the New World Order way back in the 60s before 99% of the population had any clue that such a system existed.
Well, I think we got the same reaction that we do today. Oh, this is incredible. I mean, how could this be? How could people be so evil? I'll have to see, show me along the way, and maybe I'll become convinced. And that went on for some years. I started out with Gary Allen and Alan Stang, Anthony Hilder, and G. Edward Griffin. And we all began about the same time in the early 60s. And a little bit later came Dr. Stan Monteith, but I didn't know Stan in those days. He lived in Northern California, and I lived in Southern California. Be as it may, it was very, very difficult to be accepted. And in those days, you had a very, very strong left-wing faction in America that was howling about the Vietnam War, and as it has turned out, rightly so. And we agreed, but on different principles and different methods of ending it. But we knew then that there was guiding forces behind the things that happened. No win wars. We experienced the same thing in Korea. I guess we won the Second World War because we overwhelmed the enemy. The evolution of what I call the Illuminati, and many others do as well, began back in the 13th century when they took over the entire banking system of Europe from what was known for a better name with the Crusaders who ran it. And of course there were the purges and the Catholic Church was involved in, and so on. And then in later years, we had the collapse of the Lombard system, which was their Fed Reserve system at that time. And that was in 1348, and they were thrown out of Venice, which was the housing for the Lombard system, and they were exiled. But that didn't do much good because they came back stronger than ever in a couple of hundred years to follow. And so this has been an ongoing thing for centuries. Some of it's family oriented, some of it isn't. They choose very, very bright people who become pliable, and they elevate them within their structure, which is enormously well financed. And they essentially entrap them into being part of what they are up to. And basically what they're up to is total control of the human race, paring down excess population, and having a world government which they would control and tell everybody what to do because they know better what's good for the people than the people do. And I suppose they figure half the people in the world are useless eaters, so let's just get rid of them. And that's what the wars and the epidemics and things like that, particularly in modern times, are all about. It's a culling process for them. And so, yes, it's diabolical. Yes, it's very difficult for people to believe, but that's a reality if you read history. And such combinations and such ideas predate the Umayyad and Illuminati, they go back 6,000 years. Some group was always trying to get control and or share control with others. We saw a good example of that in Egypt with the priestly cult and then the nobility, etc. And so what happens to nobility through the centuries is that they tend to believe that they're godlike creatures. And we saw a lot of that during the Roman Empire. It was responsible for the ongoing 400-year decimation of that empire. And so that's the groundwork of where this came from. That's where they're headed. And in modern times, you can look at the factional financing of Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini during the 1930s came from New York, London, etc. And they put him in a position where he could become Hitler, in this case, where he could become the Chancellor of Germany, and the same with the relatively obscure professor Benito Mussolini, who happened to be a Marxist before he was a fascist. And so you have these people financing both sides of everything, and that's how they always win. And yes, they suffer on one side, but they gain on the other. And so we're seeing today, a good example was a recent election in the United States. It was a seamless change. Team A came in and they replaced Team B. Where did they all come from? All the bureaucrats came from the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and the Bilderberger Group. And they all have the same goal, and that is to have world government. And so no matter who we have in the White House, he's controlled and has been for a long time. And today it's so easy through campaign contributions. They control probably 95% of the House and the Senate through campaign contributions and other things, which you all know about that I won't go into. And then you have a group that's compromised through their own personal activities. And then you have the good guys, which are very small in number, who are not on the take and who are not doing things they shouldn't be doing. And so people, when they vote, they have been buried, at least for the last 60 years, in this left-right paradigm. And we have to end it because that was created to confuse people. We have to go after the issues. We have to go after the problems. What is the problem? The main problem is the Federal Reserve. Ron Paul has got the right bill at the right time. 290 co-sponsors. We need it passed. We need an investigation. When the people find out what these people have been doing, they'll go into orbit. But getting rid of the Fed will slay the monster because it's going to make it very, very difficult for them to control the financial end of things without a private central bank. And so I think it's one of the things that could put us back on the right track if Americans would finally speak up and say to the people who are running for office, look, you've got to represent us and not the bankers and the industrialists and Wall Street, etc. If we can have that happen, we can turn this thing around. If it doesn't happen, it's going to be very nasty.
Well, that's an incredibly detailed response. And in fact, you touched on a number of the things that I really wanted to ask about today. And it's interesting that you put the birth of the New World Order system in the back in the 13th century with the birth of the modern banking system with the Crusaders. And you list the goal of the New World Order being, of course, the one world government, maybe the one world currency as well. And it touches on banking and politics and society. So I guess my question is, how do banking and politics and society and all these things nexus together in the New World Order system? Are they all simply tools for these elite string pullers to use to direct the world in the direction they want? Or does one of these things drive the others?
I think it's a multi factional attack, and they have the money so that they can have hundreds, if not thousands, of think tanks, foundations. And foundations are great for them because that's where they hide their money, and then they use that money to their ends, to do what they want to do. And so it's a perfect cover and not pay taxes at the same time. But they're working 24/7 worldwide on all of the social, political, financial, and economic factions. And they bring these things together in groups like the RAND Corporation, used to be Croton on Hudson. And there's a myriad of groups that are used for nothing but research. And because of their unlimited funding, it makes it very difficult for us to compete with them. And they're masters at propaganda and brainwashing and misdirection. They get the people going 16 different ways at once. And that's why Goebbels was so successful during World War II, because he understood the concept of using propaganda. And, you know, if you tell people the same thing enough times, they might believe it. In fact, a lot of them will. You know, I was in counterintelligence in Europe, and when I flew into I took a train into Frankfurt from Bremerhaven, and my caserna, or my barracks, which we worked from, was in Frankfurt, behind the Hauptbahnhof. And there are now condominiums there. But anyway, I went to the Hauptbahnhof, which is a center of activity, and just looking around, seeing what it looked like. And I heard these people start to run. They were running through this really giant train station. And so I walked behind them. And where did they go? They had one of these oompa bands at the other end of the place. And the reason I'm telling you the story is that evidently during the war, when they played those traditional German songs in a public place, people would run to them because there would be speeches and things like that. And it was the brainwashing of the people, as I found out later when I learned to speak German. And I interrogated people as to why people gave that reaction, and they told me why. And so the same thing is going on in America, only today we don't use oompa bands. We use television. And that's where most all of it comes from. And that's why the shadow government, the elitists, the Illuminati, are so terrified of the Internet. They created it, and they've created a monster for themselves. And they're also terrified about talk radio as well, because it goes all over the world. And we have people who understand now what's going on everywhere because they're subscribers, so we do know. And they come from all walks of life. Some of them are ex-intelligence, not only agents in different countries, but people who ran the apparatus. And some of them I spied against. And so it's a strange turn of events. I guess if you live long enough, everything comes full circle. And so with that said, that's what is going on with the world today, with the people who are behind the scenes in power. They own all of the media, and they do what they want with it.
Absolutely, that's exactly the case. And I guess today's version of the Oompa band would just be the little fanfare that they play at the beginning of the 24/7 news cycle at the top of the hour. Well, that is fascinating, and does give some interesting perspectives on sort of the system and how it works. Tell us about some of the formative experiences that you had in discovering not only the New World Order's existence, but how it actually operates.
Well, I think it was pretty simple for me. I had been in counterintelligence, and I knew that something bad was going on, but I really didn't understand what it was. I had found out that the Japanese diplomatic code had been broken in 1937 by both MI6 as well as U.S. Naval Intelligence, and that they had access to exactly what the Japanese were doing. And so they invited them into bomb Pearl Harbor. They just lined the ships up so they're going to have a war. It was the only way they could get into it, and I thought that was a dreadful thing, and I still do. And so right at the beginning, when I went into counterintelligence, I found that there were lots and lots of things that were going on that I didn't like, like some of the information that we would glean on different factions of the Soviet apparatus would end up, it would be sent to Washington, to NSA, and it would end up an hour later in Moscow. And I said, hey, there's something really wrong here. And so when I get out, I get out. I didn't stay in NSA or Army Counterintelligence or work for the CIA, which was under the same umbrella. I just get out because I didn't like what I saw. And then I found out from a relative who knew the story, which I never knew before. He clued me in, and there were others of us, and the gentleman I named before, the four of them were all members of the Birch Society, and we were kind of pioneers, or Robert Welch was a pioneer, in exposing this thing. And so it was really easy. I didn't have to go and read for 10,000 hours in libraries throughout the world to find it out. I knew exactly where to go to because the roadmap was there.
Absolutely. And of course, now people have an even more vast and detailed roadmap because people like yourself have been working to expose this information for decades. So have recent events convinced you that the globalist plans are unfolding at a faster pace than before, or has it been a steady progression since you first started your work?
It's accelerated because we forced them to accelerate. And when you force a plan to accelerate, you force the enemy to make mistakes. And they keep on making them. They're trying to ram through legislatively cap and trade, the socialization of American medicine. Both of them have fallen on their face. Whether they'll ever get passed or not remains to be seen. We're seeing American troops that in Northern Command that are in violation of Posse Comitatus. We're seeing a FEMA, which is nothing more than an SS for the United States government. We're seeing foreign troops, more and more of them being trained on American soil. And incidentally, that's been going on since the early 1950s, including Germany and Japan, who were our enemies before. And now we see in Montana that they have subsidiaries of Blackwater now taking over police departments. These people are from foreign nations, and they are there to not only keep law and order, but make sure everybody does what they're supposed to do in line with the New World Order. And these people, these military people who are mercenaries, they don't get it. They don't care. They just want to get paid. And you know, if the government tells them to go out and shoot everybody with brown eyes, they'll do it. And this is what we're dealing with. Just like in Afghanistan, whether we like it or not, the 100,000 mercenaries over there will kill for whoever pays them. And I understand they're going to add another 100,000 out of the 500,000 they want in Afghanistan because they're going to invade Pakistan. And they're going to split it up and balkanize it. But anyway, these things are being shoved along faster than these other people would like it. And so they're having to ratchet up their program, and that's why they've come out in the open. If you noticed in the hearings in the House last week, Representative Paul as well as Mr. Grayson interrogated the attorney, Mr. Alvarez, from the Federal Reserve. And with one exception, he admitted everything. And what they're trying to do is make a deal. I mean, back off and we'll make some changes. That's not good enough. We can't back off and we can't go for some superficial changes These people have been looting the United States for 95 years. It's got to stop. I mean, you've got derivatives out there that are, you know, they talk about the swap, $600 trillion. The total amount is 1.3 quadrillion. The whole system is floating on a sea of derivatives that at any time could collapse. And believe me, it will. And derivatives are nothing more than a license to steal.
Well, absolutely it is. And yeah, having over 1 quadrillion of them in the world as they collapse and bring down the entire economy of the world with it is a nightmare scenario. But you mentioned earlier that with one exception, the Federal Reserve legal counsel, Mr. Alvarez, answered all the questions truthfully. What was the one exception where he didn't answer truthfully?
Well, number one, I don't know how truthful it was. So I'm not going to say truthfully, because I think he was lying about half of what he was talking about, but that's what he's paid for. And secondly, what he would not answer, he said, I don't know anything about gold swaps or activity in gold by the Federal Reserve. He said, it's just out of my venue. And of course, he was lying. You could tell by the way he responded. I'm an observer of people, and quite frankly, I was a salesman most of my life, and so you know what the criteria for lying is, and it's just been uncovered under the Freedom of Information Act that the United States government and the Federal Reserve have been manipulating the gold and silver markets since the 1960s. We have proof, and so for him to tell us he doesn't know, and give me a break. And he also says, yes, Mr. Paul, we'll give you that information if we have it. And so now they're contemplating opening up and giving some information out. Whether it's about gold suppression or not remains to be seen. But the point is, they are terrified that they're going to lose the Fed. And I think they are. And if they do, it will be terrific because we'll have a chance to put our house back in order again. And if we can clear Congress of these people who continually get paid off, the American public has got to understand they've got to get on the phone and the internet and on the facts and in the letter writing. To every congressman and senator, get 1207 House bill passed and in the Senate 604, which is the same bill, two pages incidentally. And if we can get that, and we can get these guys and ladies out of office who are doing us no good, then maybe we got a shot at it. If we cannot, over the next 2 to 3 years, we will go into a depression, and the United States will enter into revolution. That's the only viable option for people who have nowhere to go. The American public will be like a bunch of rats in the corner. And you know what happens when you trap rats in a corner? They attack. And so that's what's going to happen if we cannot change this.
Well, absolutely. That's an important point because obviously the people have to go along with the system in order for the system to survive. And of course, the people who pull the strings of the New World Order have always been able to take the script in any direction they wish by staging an attack or making some event, but they always need the people's acceptance or at least to be able to brainwash the people into accepting their version of events. Otherwise, the entire system collapses. So, is that a key to one of the ways that we can help to actually stop this system or resist it in some meaningful way?
That's the only thing we can do. And, you know, the Fed has already warned Congress and warned the public that if you don't do what we tell you to do, and if you try to do it with the Fed, we're going to destroy the system. And my answer to that, after all these years, 50 years doing this, bring it on. You are the people, the 1%, that control 80% of the wealth in the world. You are going to lose it, and you're going to lose your lives in the process. And they know that. This is phony baloney. They don't want confrontation. They're faking it. They can't afford to totally destroy the system now because too many people know what they're up to. 75% of the American public, polled by Rasmussen, which is a polling agency, say that they want the Federal Reserve investigated and audited. No. If you had told me 5 years ago or 50 years ago that 75% of Americans understood now what the Fed is all about and wanted it audited, you could have knocked me over with a feather. We're making great strides in stopping these people. And that's why I wish there were 100,000 people 25 to 35 years old doing what I'm doing to take over from this 70-year, 4-year-old war horse. And I will not give up. But I want someone to come and help. I want young people who understand what the problem is to stick their necks out.
Well, I'm 30 years old and I'm doing what I can. But I take a great deal not hope, I guess hope sounds like the wrong word, there's something, I guess, empowering about what you're saying here, because it's always been my understanding that if they had simply continued with the incrementalism that they'd used in previous decades, I think they could eventually accomplish their system probably without much resistance. But things like 9/11 have just accelerated people's understanding of the system we're living in so much that it's always made me wonder why such events, they would even stage such events. And I guess maybe things like that are an act of desperation on their part, because they know that there is an awakening happening now, and they're doing anything they can to consolidate and solidify their power.
They pushed the game too far, and they went for it. The turning point was June of 2002. From then on, there was no turning back, and they knew it. And the system really, for them, has gone upside down. Sure, they continue to reap in their riches, but the control factor that they want isn't there. I have an interview in today's issue, The International Forecaster, very short, Zbigniew Brzezinski, who is running the show right now for the Illuminists. He goes back and forth in tandem with Henry Kissinger. Kissinger serves the Republicans and he the Democrats, so to speak. And Kissinger said, look, years ago, it was easy to control people. There weren't as many of them. There weren't as many people who understand some of the problems that are going on in the world. So it was easy. But today, it's much easier to kill them. Read the interview. It's a link in the forecast to which you get. I was astounded he said it. And this is their mindset. They talk about eliminating 50 to 80% of the people in the world to make it more manageable. These are human beings. These people are monsters. And so that shows you where these people are coming from. And, you know, who do they hire? This new group that's in Montana to take over the police force. The man who's running the thing has 14 felony convictions. He's going to run the police department? You've got to be kidding me. And the Illuminati hires people like this because they understand them. Their corruption is just on a different level. They wear $3,000 suits. The man with the 14 convictions is going to run the police department. He's a thug, but he's still a criminal. And they understand his mind because their mind is similar.
Absolutely. In fact, the corruption is now so monstrous that I guess there are just people out there who simply can't fathom it. But we are slowly cracking that disbelief. And, well, Bob Chapman, it's always fascinating to draw upon the experience of someone who spent so many decades writing and researching and exposing these matters. So tell people again how they can get a free copy of The International Forecaster.
You can go to our site, theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternationalforecaster.com. If you'd like to email a question, we answer everybody, incidentally. That address is bob@intforecaster.com, bob@intforecaster.com, or you can call toll-free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. We publish by email twice a week, about 40 pages each time. We have a hard copy for those who are not on the internet that goes out twice a month. And everything that you need to know every week is in that publication.
Absolutely. Well, Mr. Chapman, it's been a pleasure, and thank you once again for joining me on the Corbett Report.
I'm looking forward to the next visit.
As am I.